Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
We are committed to the next generation, not just we that are in this room, but this is an intergenerational church, and I thank God for that. You know, before we get in the message this weekend, and I just want us to, if we could pause for a moment, and I want to again remember the people that have been impacted at the Tree of Life Synagogue in our city. The greatest act of terrorism on Jewish people in the history of this nation occurred here in our city. And it's an act of wickedness and evil that you almost can't wrap your mind around. And so we want to pray again today over those families, over those ones, families that have lost loved ones, that whole congregation, because you can only imagine the impact that it's had on them. We also want to pray for those who have been injured and the policemen, the first responders that went there and those that were injured as well. And we want to make it very clear, and I guess it should go without saying, but I want to say it, that as a church, it is beyond words to say that we stand 100% against any forms of bigotry or anti-Semitism in any form, fashion, not just this horrific act of terrorism, but in any way, shape, form, or fashion. And so we want to pray over them. We want to just pray for God's comfort and God's peace. You know, if there was ever a time in our world, that a Savior needed to be made it to be known to people, it's right now. And then lastly, I also want to pray for Paradise, California. We have families in our church that actually have family members there. Had a wedding going on this weekend where family members from Paradise came here. While they were flying, their homes were burnt to the ground. And plus, in that same community was another act of terrorism where 12 people were slaughtered. It is such a dark world. This is the time to know we have a good Father and how to walk with Him. But I want to pray over that city, over those precious people that have been impacted. And let's pray over our city and the families that have been impacted by that horrible act of terrorism in our city. Let's pray. Father, we look to You today. You said Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This evil that is just saturating our land, that touched our city and touched these precious people at the Tree of Life Synagogue. Father, we pray for them that You would bring comfort to their life. For every person that was impacted in the congregation, the families that lost loved ones, those that have been injured, those first responders that had to walk into that horror, and those who actually they put their lives on the line and were even injured as a result. We pray over them. We pray for that city in California as it's been decimated by fire, decimated through terrorism. Lord, You are the only hope of this world, the only hope of this world. And we pray that Your will would be done on this earth as it is in heaven, that heaven would come to earth. And Lord, help us to be the salt and the light to our community and to everyone we touch. We pray Your presence in these environments of pain. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. You know, as we enter into this message today, we're talking about a good, good Father, that our God is our Heavenly Father. If you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, He's not just God to you. He's your Father, and He's good. And until you understand who He is and His nature, and sometimes religion can cast God in a light that the Scripture doesn't teach. And I want to take some time today to talk to you about the third part of how He is your Heavenly Father. The first week, Pastor Steve taught about that He is our Father by birth. The Bible said of God's own will, He gave birth to us. When you made Jesus the Lord of your life, your sins didn't just get forgiven and you were this sinner with your sins wiped away for a little bit. You literally, the Bible said, became a new creation. Your inward man, which was dead or separated from God because of sin, was made brand new or born again of the Spirit of God. And the Bible said, by God's own will, He gave birth to you. Last week, we talked about that you are God's child. He is your good, good Father through adoption. We showed you how you were chosen by God. You were pursued by God. This week, I want to talk to you about the fact that He is your Father by covenant, a blood covenant. You see, again, a Father by birth is Him willing you. By adoption is Him choosing you. And literally, by covenant is He paid for you. He purchased you. He paid the debt that you could not pay, that I could not pay. God is a holy and righteous God, and no sin can exist in His presence, not the slightest piece of it. And so it is impossible for a sin-stained man to reconcile himself to a holy God when sin has separated us and slew us. We have been separated from him by the sin of the world. And that sin has stained every human being. But God's mercy boasted against his judgment. And he sent his son, born of a virgin, the God-man, sinless, for one purpose, so that he could come and literally offer up his life in my place, in your place. What does that mean? That means he would take the punishment that was due you and due me. What kind of love is it that judges me guilty and then robes himself in human flesh? The God of the creation of all things became his created thing, this created being that he loved, so that he could pour out his wrath on himself to satisfy the claims of justice against our sin, to redeem us. And it was by the blood of the Son of God. You were purchased with blood. Your value to your Father is the blood of his Son. Life can extract value from us over and over and over again. But the only thing that will replace, the only thing that will satisfy, the only thing that will create a stable foundation of your value is when you understand the God of the universe equated your value to the blood of his Son. You see, being in God's presence demands that we be absent shame, because he deals with the sin that separated us. Let me read the scripture to you in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 16. He said, "And this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, into their minds I will write them." And then he adds, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember, be mindful of, or remind them of no more." This is a redemption that brought you not into just your sins being forgiven before a mighty God, but sons and daughters, where he said, "Your sins and your iniquities, I won't remind you of them anymore. I won't remember them anymore." Imagine that kind of love. That's the covenant relationship of your Heavenly Father. Because most people, when they think of God, they feel like he's there to condemn them. But Jesus said, "I did not come into the world to condemn it, but that through me the world might have life and life abundantly." The fact of it is, God loves you unconditionally. That's why I encourage every one of you, when we talk about Christmas, we're not talking about just a celebration. We're talking about redemption. That's why everybody, bring people to the Christmas show. Over those 2 weekends, we're going to see 20,000 people here. And this is the easiest thing to bring people to, because I'm telling you, you can go to the Benedum and it's not going to be a whole lot better, and it's free here. And you can, you remember, you go online, get your tickets. It's free online, but we need some crowd control. But here's the deal. Do you realize if we look for people that need Jesus and bring them to a Christmas show, do you know that there's going to be a time when God's presence will show up and they'll have the opportunity to give their lives to Christ? And do you know that, well, how's this for celebrating Christmas? Wouldn't it be pretty cool to celebrate the birthday of Jesus by seeing 5,000 people give their life to Jesus over those 2 weekends? Come on, man. It's incredible. Jesus came to liberate human beings. But our Father God loves us unconditionally. But he celebrates us when we believe that love and we act upon it. Jesus loved people exactly how they were and where they were, so they could experience his presence and be transformed. God loves you just where you are today, but he wants you to have a relationship and come to know him intimately as your Father, because it's in that intimacy that you'll be transformed. And what we do so often through religion is try to make ourselves right with God. But you cannot know God. You cannot know him. You cannot understand him until you understand his love and his fatherhood. It's who he is. And when you understand his love for you, you understand that he's a good heavenly father. Maybe your picture of a parent has been marred by life, but he's not broken and sin-stained like maybe perhaps the people that hurt you. He is a good, good father. And when you come into his presence, just like when those that were sin-stained, Jesus never once criticized, never once, people that were broken in sin. He was brutal on those who were self-righteous. And he also never went to those who were sin-stained and said, "No big deal." He loved them and cared for them. And even in one case said, I don't condemn you. But then he said, go and sin no more, because he knew his power was transforming. Jesus doesn't come into your life to give you a pass. He comes into your life to get you out of the prison. Not to give you a nicer bed in your prison cell, but to make us free. That's what he died for. 1 John 3:1 says this. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. That is what we are. Remember this. God does not love the better version of you. He loves you just like you are, right where you are, so you can be liberated from all that imprisoned you. God isn't waiting for the better version of you to fall in love with you. Do you understand that it's not your good works or your sin? It's not your love for God, or if you were in case hating God and cursing God. Do you understand your actions, good, bad, or indifferent, have nothing to do with who God is? You don't change God, his heart toward you by loving him or by hating him. God is who he is. And it's because that he loved us first, the scripture said, that we can love him back. Then why is that important? Because until you get this understanding that your Father is good toward you and it isn't based on you, and that's not a pass to do whatever you want, because the Bible tells us clearly those things will ruin your life. They'll break your heart and they'll break God's heart. God can be grieved. Doesn't mean he's pleased with everything we do, but do you understand the desperation in him to love you, that he birthed you by will, by adoption, by birth, and by blood? He purchased you. In scripture, I want you to see, and this is where the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, and I'm going to pray here in a minute. Because I know by the presence and power of God today, he wants to get something real into your heart. See, right now you're hearing a human being speak, but I'm not the teacher of the church. The Bible said the Holy Spirit is, and I want to pray right in a moment here that this central thought that I know he birthed in my heart to share with you, that he will make real to you today, and he will change your life today. The fact of it is, I want you to understand the Father who celebrates you. Listen to these words. Not tolerates you, but he celebrates you. No matter where you're at in your life, he will celebrate you. He loves you. He's obsessed with you to the point of dying for you. Let me pray. Father, I ask you today, in the wonderful name of Jesus, that your holy presence would fill this room. Hearts that may be hard, hearts that may be broken, desperation, whatever's going on in this room, there's nothing that a good, good Father, nothing that's impossible with you. And Father, I ask you now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to literally breathe on the hearts of people so they can yield themselves to your love and never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 15, verse 1, the celebration of a father. Dishonest tax collectors and other notorious sinners. How many of y'all know notorious sinners? They're like professionals, right? Dishonest tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came, say out loud, often came. They often came to listen to Jesus' sermons. But this caused complaints from the Jewish religious leaders and the experts on Jewish law, because he, Jesus, was associating, giving credence and value with such despicable people, even eating with them. Why is it that tax collectors who were despised in that day, they were dishonest, they extorted money from their own people. And then he just gives this blanket statement, notorious sinners. These are the people that everybody went, stay away from those people. Why did they want to often hear Jesus speak? And they don't want to listen to the church today. What is it that Jesus said? What is it that his presence brought to people in this condition that the church doesn't? Why are we considered the enemy of people who may be put in this category? Is it possible because the church is more like the Pharisee than Jesus? Is it possible because instead of understanding that these Pharisees were there to serve these very same people, and by the way, they were every bit as broken as those people. They were just full of self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is simply this. It's when you compare yourself with anything other than God to make yourself right with God. Lord, I love you because I'm not as wicked and messed up as that person. Self-righteousness is when you think you have a right to put other people down because of how strong you are in a given area of your life. There are very few things that Jesus went completely. Man, he went off on this stuff. He said brutal things to self-righteous people. Because there is no way anybody earns the favor of a holy God. And this religious crowd, they were furious at Jesus. How can you give value to such despicable people? And Jesus tells a story about three separate things to answer the same question. Why do I give value to these people? And then he's about to tell them, and by the way, I'm about to tell some story to show how messed up you are too. You think they're broken. You don't understand. You're every bit as broken. And he's about to tell a story to illustrate it. He tells a story about a lost sheep, a lost coin, and two lost sons. Not one, but two. The lost sheep, you know the story. He said if someone has 99 or 100 sheep and one of those missing, they leave the 99 and they go get the one. Why? Because it holds value. He said, and when they find it, the shepherd rejoices. He carries the sheep back on his shoulders. He said, rejoice with me, for my sheep that was lost was found. He's answering the charge of why do you give value to people that are despicable and broken? He said, because they matter to me. They hold value to me and they don't hold value to you. That's why he said, you should be rejoicing with me because I'm trying. Because he said, when one that is lost in sin stained repents, there's joy in heaven. And then he talked about the lost coin. And he said, there was a woman that lost a very valuable coin in her home. And so she stopped what she was doing and she swept that house over and over again until she could find the coin. Why did she take time to find the coin? Because it had value. Jesus is saying to these self-righteous Pharisees, he said, they hold value to me. And when she found the coin, she said, I found my coin, rejoice with me. And Jesus went on to say, and when one that is bound to sin repents, there is joy in the very presence of the angels in heaven. The Bible doesn't say the angels rejoice. It says there's joy in the presence of the angels. I want you to understand, you're about to see that it's not the angels rejoicing. It is God himself celebrating and rejoicing over people when they come to him. Imagine the God of the universe so intimately in love with human beings that are sin-stained that when they come to understand his love and they turn and they receive the grace that comes by making Christ the Lord of their life, the God of the universe stops and rejoices. Imagine that. When you gave your life to Jesus, God himself rejoiced over you, intimately over you. So how could that be? That's how intimate his love is for you. And then he tells the story of two lost sons. Now, we call it the story of the prodigal son, and we only tell the story typically of one brother, but it's not about one lost son. It's two sons that are lost. One is lost in sin. The other is lost in self-righteousness. He's speaking to both groups of people right now in this story that we're present in front of him. And he tells a story that is so hard to understand, so hard to hear. It's such a wicked thing that this one boy was about to do. He was trying to illustrate to these Pharisees that I don't care if they got lost like the sheep did, which is the nature of sheep to get lost. I don't care if they got lost by the coin, like the coin did, which is by circumstance. Because many people are in their place today, not just because of the sin stain in nature, but also because of the circumstances of life. He said, but I want to teach you something. I don't care if they got lost by choice. They still matter to me. They're still valuable to me, and I still want them. And he told the story of the younger boy going to his father, and he said, Dad, he said, I want my inheritance now. Now, if you understand what that means, here's what he was saying to his father. I wish you were dead. Divide what belongs to me. I'm leaving. I'm no longer going to have a relationship with you. To me, Father, you'll be dead, but just give me the stuff that's mine coming. And when the Pharisees would have heard that, you could not do a more despicable thing in that culture. And the father, he said, divided his inheritance to both sons. He pulled them together and gave them their full inheritance. Well, the younger son took the inheritance and he left his father's presence and he went out And he began to, and Jesus mentioned a bunch of stuff that these guys actually did that were in front of him. He said, and they took all, he took that money and he wasted it in parties and prostitutes. He said he just went out and he spent it all, and he had a ton of friends while the money lasted, just like addiction is today. How many of you know, if you've ever dealt with addiction or you know anybody that has, you got some money, you got all kinds of friends. Your money's gone, your friends are gone. And that's what happened to him. Spent all of his father's inheritance on what would today be drugs and alcohol and prostitutes, paying for everything for his friends as well. Now he's dirt poor and he's starving to death, and he goes and gets a job at a farm, and the farmer gives him a job that no Jewish boy should have. He was given the job of feeding pigs, which would have made the Pharisees sick to their stomach. No Jew would touch a pig, never feed one. They're unclean, let alone come near them and feed them and care for them. He said he began to feed pigs, and he was so hungry, he was willing to eat the pig food. And then Jesus said, and that boy came to himself, and he said, wait a minute. My father has employees at home that have food to spare, and I'm starving to death. So I know what I'll do. I will go back to my father, and I'll say, Father, I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Make me as one of your employees. This young boy, I want you to understand, when he came to himself, was trapped. He was trapped in his shame and in his sin, like many people are trapped today. And I talk to people over and over and over again who they want to walk with God. They want to be in their father's presence, but they're trapped. And they do exactly what this boy did, even when they realize they need help. He did not say, I'm going to go back to restore my relationship with my dad. He said, I'm just going to go back and work for him as an employee and hopefully just get enough stuff again from him that I can, listen to me, that I can now earn. See, the inheritance was given. He could not earn it. But he said, let me go back now and work for my father. And I can at least earn my living, and I at least won't starve to death. I'm no longer his son. I have disowned him as my father. I have no father any longer. I will go back and see if he'll just at least hire me as an employee. And he was trapped in his shame, like many people are today. And so he made the decision to go back. I'm no longer worthy, he said. I've got my deal. I've got my story. I'm no longer worthy, Dad, to be your son. Can I ask you a question? When was he worthy? When, at any time, did he do anything to make himself worthy? The deception is that his sin changed the heart of his father. And so he's now going to go back and work it. But something very interesting happens. He's on his way back to his father, and he's expecting, I'm sure, not to go into the house, but to have another servant go in and beg his father to come out so he can plead for a job. And the Bible said while he was walking toward the house, while he was a long way off, his father saw him. A long way off, his father saw him. What does that mean? His father's eyes were on the horizon every day of the world, waiting for his son to come home. And then something happened that you only see one other time in the Bible, is when God ran. And the father ran toward his son. It wasn't, he was a marathon runner like crazy people like Steve Moore. He started running. And the boy's trying to figure out how to make a deal, how to earn his father, and his father's running. And he's not running just like you would think an older guy would run. He's running because he's been waiting and he's been watching. And the son that he desperately loves is coming home. Now, this boy is full of filth and matter. He smells like a pig. If you've ever been in anywhere where pigs are, and I've been in a farrowing barn, it smells so desperately bad that stink is offended by it. This boy, you can smell him 20 miles away. He's filthy. There's matter in his beard. And he's wondering and his mind is screaming, why is he running at me? And his father isn't just running like, he's probably shouting, you're home! You're home! And he's running and he's running. And his son, and instead of his son getting to do his speech, his father just almost tackles him and grabs him and begins to kiss him and kiss him and kiss him. He put those holy lips on a face matted with pig filth. He didn't wait to clean him to kiss him. He kissed him as he was. And his son said, Father, I'm not worthy to be your son. Let me be an employee. He ignored him and he looked to his employees and he said, you go get the robe. You go get the ring and the shoes I put back for this day. Get them now, quickly. He didn't say, do it when you get around to it. Clean this filthy kid up before I put my stuff back on him. He said, do it quickly. Get it right now. And while he was filthy, while he felt like nothing, while he was still trying to earn his father's presence, his father restored everything back to him. The ring wasn't just some pretty family piece of jewelry. The ring was a signet. It was like a credit card that you could press into wax. And it would mean that it was paid for by this entity, which would have been his father. And he restored everything to his son. And his son didn't know what to do with it. And then his father tells his employees to do this. Look at Luke 15, verse 23. He said, bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let's have a feast and celebrate. Everybody say celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. They began to celebrate. But he still had an older brother who would not come into the party. He was no way going in. So his father went out to him and he said, son, come on, man. Your brother's home. Come on, we're having a party. We've killed the fatted calf. He said, I'm not going in. And his brother, his self-righteous brother, who was also stuck in his self-righteousness, would not celebrate because the father said, your brother's home. And he said, this son of yours is home, not my brother. And then he begins to tell his father all of his brother's sins. He wasted your inheritance on parties and prostitutes. Because you see, the older brother was as deceived as the younger brother. The older brother thought he had earned his father's favor because he had worked in the field. Because he said to his father, how dare you give him a party? I have served you and worked for you all this time. You've never given me a party. You've never even killed a lousy goat for me, let alone the fatted calf. And his father looked at him and he said, son, you've been with me always. Everything that I have is yours. He had been given an inheritance, but he never spent it because he kept working for it. And he was talking to the Pharisees. You can't earn this. Anytime you are outside of your father's presence, you're in the pig pen. Even if you think you're working in the field to honor God. Here's the bottom line. Neither son understood the love of their father. Neither one did. And I find in dealing with my own life and with people over and over again, people have no concept of the love of God. And very often I meet the older brother and they want to talk to me. You shouldn't talk about love that much. It'll mess people up. So telling people who God is will mess them up. Yeah, because they won't work as hard in the field if they know he's good. It's like saying my wife won't be kind to me if I'm good to her. How are you going to make your marriage better? I'll treat you like dirt for a while. Let's see how that works. Love never tore anything down. But the mind of the Pharisee is so broken. The self-righteous is so broken. And the father said, we must celebrate. For this brother of yours was dead and he's now alive. He's lost and he's now found. I want to pray with you today that the presence of God will get you out of both fields. The field of the pig pen where you've been trapped and your sin has trapped you. And even to this case, you could see it's a form of addiction. And now you want to come back to God, but you want to come back to God and make a deal. And Lord, I'll do this for you. If you'll help me, Jesus, I will. And you make a deal. Let's make a deal. And the brother in the field, so many of us fall into that trap. Lord, I've been serving you all this time, and look at these other people, what you've done for them. Don't I deserve it more? No. We deserve nothing. The only thing that gives us right standing before God and an inheritance before God and access to his holy presence is the fact that he found me and sought me and took me as his own and gave birth to me as his child. As a child of God, I have access to his presence and I've done nothing to deserve it and can do nothing to better that position. And do you see how easily we can fall into either category? I'm just too messed up. Or, I can do more for you, God. And you think you're going to get your father's presence. No, you get the presence of the father because he loves you. And because he wants to rescue your life. And the last thing, they went to a party. And I want the Holy Spirit to take you to that party today. Because you are the center of the celebration. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And let's just wait in the presence of God for a moment. Just don't get in any hurry. Just wait in his presence. I worship you, Father. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. Oh, I worship you, Father. Great is your faithfulness to people. Oh, how you love us. I worship you. I worship you. Holy Spirit, have your way in this room. Have your way in this place. Speak into every heart and every life, whether they be in the field, in the pig pen, whether they're aware and they want out and they're trying to make a deal, or maybe we're in the field working and we think we need to work harder. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to see something happen. With every head bowed and eye closed, let these words come up and let them create a picture in your heart. Let the Holy Spirit do a work in your heart right now. I want you to see yourself wherever you find yourself. Maybe life has been so difficult and you think, God, it's not fair to me. And you think, Lord, I've done this and I've done that. And you're trying to earn your Father's presence. Or maybe you're like the other brother who you've wasted so much time. You've hurt so many people. You've hurt yourself. You're so ashamed of the things you did. And you can't forget it. And you live in regret. And you don't know what to do. And when you come to God, you try to barter with him. Lord, I know I don't deserve this. I know I'm not worthy to be your child, but let me earn it. Let me work for you, and maybe I can work myself somehow into your good grace. Here's what I want you to see, no matter where you find yourself today. I want you to see your Father ignore your pleas. Ignore the lies that you've believed. And I want you to see him grab you. And I don't mean grab you like somebody that doesn't know you. Grab you like an Italian father seeing his daughters, where it looks like they're being mauled. Where he holds you and he's kissing you and kissing you and kissing you and kissing you. But he's not kissing you after a shower. He's kissing you after your darkest, most horrible, most sin-stained, filthy day of your life. And as you try to make your plea, he ignores you and he puts a robe on you to represent that you're mine. He puts shoes on your dirty, broken feet and says, no, 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 no. The paths you walk now will be covered by me. Then he puts a ring on your hand that says, all that I have is yours again. I restore everything you think you lost. And then something amazing happens. You hear music. You smell the roasting of an animal and being cooked. And it fills the air. And the Father takes you by the hand and he's bringing you, and there's music playing. And you're being brought into the room, and the Father looks at you and says, this party is for you. This party is for you. Everybody here is to celebrate you. But I want you to know the party is not for them to celebrate you, but for me to celebrate you. And he lets go of your hands and he goes into the middle of the room alone. And the music's playing, and by himself, he dances like a fool. And he's dancing and dancing and laughing and crying and dancing and running back over to you and kissing you and hugging you and going back onto the floor and dancing and laughing and dancing and coming back and hugging you and kissing you. And then he drags you back on the floor and he says, come on, dance with me. Dance with me. No, no, I'm not worthy. No, 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 you're mine. Dance with me. Forget about yesterday. Your sins and iniquities I remember no more. You can do nothing to earn this. You're mine. My son's home. My boy that was so messed up he couldn't spend his inheritance, so busy working trying to earn what he had already been given. Come on, boy, get out here. Have fun. You want to kill 50 cows and eat them? Eat them. They're yours. All that I have is yours. You're mine. You're redeemed. You're clean. You're purchased. You're made righteous in my sight. And nothing defines you but me. And I celebrate you. I celebrate you. I want you to see the God of creation celebrating you today. And if you come to the place where you believe that kind of love, it will change every decision you make in every area of your life, because you will now know that it's not just you. It's God and you. It's your Father and you. And nothing's impossible with Him. Heavenly Father, I pray that you make that real to every heart in this room today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you would say, that's me. I needed to be brought into that floor to dance with my Father. Holy Spirit is showing me, He's showing me I'm the object of His affection and love and sacrifice and celebration. And you want the Holy Spirit of our God to just sear that into your heart. Would you just, right where you're at, forget about everybody around you and think about your Father. Would you lift your hands to Him like He was right in front of you and surrender, bringing nothing to Him other than a thank you. And lift your hands as I pray over you. Father, as we lift our hands to heaven right now, Holy Spirit, I thank you for making this truth a reality in our hearts so we can live our lives in your presence. For in your presence is fullness of joy. In your presence, impossibilities become practical and simple. In your presence, our past falls away. In your presence, our fears fall away. In your presence, we stand complete. I thank you for that, Father, for doing that work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, as every head is now bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, I'm not asking you if you're a good person or not. I trust you are, but that doesn't get you into heaven. Working in the field doesn't get you to the party. Say, yeah, but you don't understand how much I've done. Living in the pig pen won't keep you out. There's only one thing that keeps you out, is that you don't come to your Father by His Son. A price was paid for you, and it's not church. I love church. I'm a pastor. But let me tell you, Jesus didn't die to bring you to a church building. There is no church that can make you right with God. There is no sacrament of any church that can make you right with God. There is no pastor, no priest, anywhere on the planet, any pope, any imam, any kind of religious leader that can make you right with God. Only Jesus. And that includes this church, any sacraments at this church, and any pastor in this church. Only Jesus. So my question is not, what did you do with church, or what have you done right, or what have you done wrong? My question for your heart today is, what will you do with a Savior? Will you receive Him, or will you reject Him? There is only two options. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, and if you're watching online, this is for you as well. If you're watching this at a later time, there's no time or distance with God. It's as real as if you were here at this moment, because God is ever present. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, or you're not sure that if you died today, where you would spend eternity. Jesus said there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. And your sins will be paid for, either by a Redeemer and a Savior, or you will pay for them yourself. And salvation is now a free gift that you cannot earn. And the Father says, come, and I'll celebrate you. I'll make you brand new. I'll make you my very own. Your sin debt canceled. You will become my child, and I will never leave you or forsake you. And when you die, you'll make heaven your home. Jesus turns no one away. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning with us and you would say, that's me. I don't know that I've ever given my life to Christ, and I want to, or I'm not certain. Please include me in that prayer. In a moment, I'll ask you to raise your hand, and then we'll pray a prayer. The whole church will pray a prayer out loud together with you right where you're seated. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. I want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of my life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, right where you're seated, would you just simply raise your hand right now so I can see it? And we're going to pray. Do it right now. Don't hesitate. Don't push away. Don't stay in the pig pen or in the field. Come to Him. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Lift your hand high and say, I want Him. I want Him. I want Him to be my Savior. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Listen, if you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it with your own ears. And Jesus will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. We're going to pray it with you. We're going to celebrate with you. Right about now, I want you to see God stepping off of His throne in heaven and about to celebrate and dance in the presence of angels over what you're about to do right now. That's how real this is. Say it where you hear it, and we will pray it with you. Say, Heavenly Father. Say it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart. I open the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and Lord. My sin debt is canceled. I am a child of God. I've been made clean. My Father rejoices today. And Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? Best decision of your life.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.